Welcome to the Hackberry House of Chosun, sermonaudio.com. My name is Bob. Today a reading from Wilhelmus Abrakel, who lived from 1635 to 1711. A scholar, a theologian, preacher, a Dutch theologian, major representative of the Dutch Second Reformation, born in the Netherlands. And an age-old question. Divine authority, does it come from the church or the Holy Scripture? Question, are the Holy Scriptures truly the Word of God, having divine authority, both in regard to historical accounts where many words and deeds of the ungodly are related, and in regard to the rule for doctrine and life? It's necessary for man to be convinced of this and to esteem the Scriptures as the Word of God. Therefore, how may man be assured that the Holy Scriptures are the Word of God? My answer, Romanism answers that we must believe it because it says that it is so, the Church. And we do affirm that the true Church, which believes and declares that the Holy Scriptures are the Word of God, is a means whereby the Holy Spirit brings man to the Word and thereby persuades man to believe it. We deny, however, that the Church is the foundation upon which the belief that the Scriptures are the Word of God rests, and whereby man is assured of the same. Rather, the Holy Scriptures, by the inwrought evidences of their divinity and the Holy Spirit speaking in that Word, are themselves the foundation and basis whereby we believe them to be divine. The authority of the Word is derived from the Word itself. The Church cannot be the foundation upon which one believes that the Scriptures are the Word of God. For first, the Church derives all its authority from the Word. We cannot acknowledge a Church to be the true Church except by means of the Word of God, and only if it preaches the pure doctrine and has the credentials that Scripture expresses as belonging to the true Church, quote, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, end of quote. That's from Ephesians 2:20. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, 2 John verse 10, and avoid them, Romans 16:17. If the Word of God is the only criterion by which we can determine a church to be the true Church of God, then we must first acknowledge Scripture to be the Word of God before acknowledging the church to be the true church. Furthermore, we cannot receive the testimony of the church unless we acknowledge her to be the true church. Thus, we do not believe the Word to be the Word of God because the church affirms it, but on the contrary, we believe a church to be the true church because the Word validates her as such. A house rests upon its foundation, not the foundation upon the house. A product proceeds from its origin. The origin does not proceed from its producer. An extenuating argument. The two can be interchangeable. Christ bore witness to John the Baptist, and John, in return, to Christ. Answer. It is one thing to bear witness, but quite another to be the foundation of faith itself. Christ was truth personified, and he testified with authority. John, however, was merely an instrument whereby the truth was disclosed, as every minister is today. God's servants are nevertheless not the foundation upon which the faith of the hearers is resting. That foundation is Jesus the Christ. Rather, with the Samaritans, we must confess, now we believe, not because of your saying, but we've heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world, John 4:42. The basis for respecting someone's words is the person himself. The laws issued by the government derive their authority to demand compliance from the government itself. The laws do not receive this authority, however, from the person who publishes these laws, either by reading or by displaying them. Thus, we acknowledge the Word to have divine authority solely because God is the one who speaks. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken, Isaiah 1:2. The church merely functions as a herald. If the Word derived its authority from the church, then we would have to hold the church in higher esteem than God himself. For whoever gives the credence and emphasis to someone's words is superior to the person who speaks them. God has no superior, and therefore no one is in a position to give authority to his words. I receive not testimony from man, John 5:34, exclaimed the Lord Jesus. Even though John testified of him, that is, declared that he was the Christ, it would nevertheless be contrary to the will of the Lord Jesus that someone would believe for that reason only. John's testimony was merely a means to an end. But I have greater witness than that of John. For the works which the Father has given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father has sent me, John 5:36. But objection one, which is the church of the living God, Titus 1 Timothy says, the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. 1 Timothy 3:15. Whatever provides the truth with support and stability provides it with the authority to be received as truth. Such is the relationship of the church to the truth, says the objector. Answer, I emphatically reject the conclusion of this proposition. The most eminent proponents of the church are called pillars, which is true in daily conversation as well as scripture. James, Cephas, and John, who seem to be pillars, Galatians 2:9. Nevertheless, these men did not give to the church the authority to be recognized as the true church. Similarly, the church is the keeper, the defender, and the protector of the Word. If there were no church, the Word of God and the truth contained in it would almost entirely disappear from the world. The expression a pillar and ground has no reference to giving authority and credibility, but rather to preservation and protection. The oracles of God have been committed to the church, Romans 3:2. Her calling is to preserve and defend them, as well as to publish them abroad. What credence does this give to the Word of God itself? Objection 2. No one would know that the Bible is the Word of God if the church had not declared it to be so. God is not now declaring from heaven that the Bible is the Word of God. Therefore, there must be someone who declares such to be the case in order that the people can hear it. Answer. First, no one can know which law the government has issued forth except for the announcement by a herald. Yet he is not the person who gives these laws their authority, and such is also the case here. And secondly, the argument that no one can know that the Bible is the Word of God except the church declares it to be so, it does not hold. It occasionally occurs that someone born and raised far distant from other people, and being ignorant of the existence of a church, will accidentally find a Bible in his home. While reading it diligently, he finds delight in these matters, and they are used as a means for his conversion. Consequently, he acknowledges the Bible to be of God, and he begins to love his Word. I have known such an individual, and what has happened to him can also happen to anyone else. Hundreds of people are ignorant concerning the church, and thus have no regard for it, yet they will acknowledge the Bible to be the Word of God, and may even attempt to seek out the true church by means of the Word. Whether the church or someone else gives us the Bible and declares it to be the Word of God is immaterial. In either case, it can motivate a person to search. And while searching, he can discern evidences of divine authorship in it. And thirdly, the objector will claim Rome to be the true church, thereby giving authority to the Word. We believe, however, that the Bible is the Word of God, not because Rome says it is. Another objection, objection three, the church existed prior to the written Word and is better known than the Word. Thus, the church gives the Word divine authority. Answer, the church is not older than the Word. The very opposite is true. The Word is the seed of the church. The first gospel message was issued forth prior to the existence of the church and was a means whereby the church came into existence. It is true that the church existed prior to the time that the scriptures were fully contained in the Bible. Nevertheless, the church did not give credence to the books of Moses and the scriptures that followed them. Generally, one acquires esteem for the Bible as the Word of God prior to comprehending what the church is and discerning what she has to say about the Word. From this it follows that the church does not have more recognition than the Word. Now, the contrary is true. Thus, the church does not give divine authority to the Word among men. We do not believe the Word to be divine because the church declares it to be so, but the Holy Scriptures themselves manifest their divinity to the attentive hearer or reader. This becomes clear from the following. One, the prefaces of the books of the Bible and apostolic letters in such words as, "Thus saith the Lord," "The Lord speaks," "Hear the word of the Lord," etc. Secondly, Scripture manifests its divinity to man by its revelation of the lofty mysteries of God and divine matters, which nature does not reveal, no human could have conceived, and which, apart from the operation of the Holy Spirit, cannot be comprehended. The divinity of Scripture is also manifested in the holiness and purity of its injunctions, as well as by the way in which man is commanded to conduct himself. And therefore, all other writings that are not derived from this Word are carnal, unrefined, vain, and foolish, whereas those writings that are derived from Scripture compare to Scripture as a painting resembles a living human being. 3. The divinity of Scripture is further evident from the power it exerts upon the human heart. For wherever the gospel is preached, hearts are conquered and brought into subjection to Scripture. The more those who confess the truth of Scripture are suppressed and persecuted, the more the Word will exert its power. 4. It is evident from the wondrous light with which the Word illuminates the soul, the internal and external change it engenders, and the way it fills believers with sweet comfort and inexpressible joy. It enables them to endure all persecution in love and with joy, as well as to surrender themselves willingly to death. And finally, number 5, it is evident from the prophecies that, having declared thousands of years in advance what would subsequently occur, have been fulfilled in minute detail, thus validating these prophecies. Well, these and similar matters are rays of the divinity of the Word that illuminate and convince man of this divinity by its inherent light. However, the task of fully persuading someone, especially a person who uses his corrupt intellect to judge in this matter, is the work of God's Spirit, who is the Spirit of faith, 2 Corinthians 4:13. He gives faith, 1 Corinthians 12:9, and bears witness that the Spirit, speaking by means of the Word, is truth, 1 John 5:6. No man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now that's from a book called The Christian's Reasonable Service. It's volume 1, pages 28 to 32, Reformation Heritage Books. That's heritagebooks.org. One more word from Octavius Winslow that we had another time, who, when nature is dissolving, earth is receding, eternity is opening, who is in a condition to weigh, examine, and sift the evidences of the divinity of the Scriptures? The earnest, imploring language of such a one, alive to a conviction of sin and danger, is there pardon? Is there salvation? Is there hope for such a sinner as I am? Does the Word of God tell me how I may be saved? Read to me of Christ. Tell me of the Savior. Point me to the Lamb of God. Direct my eye to the cross, and let me behold Him whose blood cleanses from all sin. Read to me, speak to me, tell me only of Jesus. That was from Octavius Winslow. Well, all of that I just read is from the Free Grace Broadcaster, issue 239. It's spring 2017, so I assume that summer will see another book coming to my door, because I've asked for these to come, and they are free, and I totally, I think that you ought to do this yourself. Just go to the free, just look up Free Grace Broadcaster or Chapel Library. And it's just Chapel Library, two L's in the middle, .org, www. So, that's it for now. Check in from time to time to see what's going on here at the Hackberry House of Chosun website of sermonaudio.com. We will be talking soon, Lord willing. Bye-bye.